Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the fastest talking two-hour New Zealander radio show in the world. In the Schwarzenegger sense of the world. And my very special guest today is Thomas Sheridan, the man from the land where a heck of a lot of the genetic material in the Western world comes from, because the Irish accent, according to FHM magazine in Australia, is by far the most attractive accent to women, as well as if they happen to be an underwear model like Thomas is. Thomas, welcome to the program.
Well, I'm very happy to hear that. The most attractive accent.
I mean, yeah. It really does turn the girls on. I mean, it's a survey. You can't argue with results. And far as I know, talking with many New Zealanders, all of the ones that are at least of Caucasian descent seem to have at least a little bit of Irish in them. So somebody must have been a smooth talking Irishman at some point and gotten in there.
Well, if a scientific journal of the level of FHM has decreed that, I'll gladly rise to that challenge.
But it's usually better if you're actually in another country where they have a different accent to the Irish accent. Otherwise, yeah. You sound like everybody else, and you're not quite as sexier. That's the unfortunate
business. No, it's true. Okay. It's true. It only works when you're away.
Yeah, exactly. So, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to Thomas Sheridan's website, thomassheridanarts.com, and is there a donate button there of some kind, Thomas? Because I think we should get you, I don't know, how much would it cost you to go to the States, have a really nice penthouse hotel room, as well as fly there and back, just so that you could have a very, very nice week away, you know, with other girls who don't have the same accent.
We'd have to look on as a humanitarian mission.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. We'd have to look at it as a humanitarian mission. So there's no donate button, but we could arrange something else. Maybe we could do it on do it in the kind of a charity format or something. You know, like what's that website where you donate money to get a
Kickstarter.
Kickstarter. Yeah,
we could do it for sex, and we could call it Cockstarter.
Except change the word kick to something else.
We could make it into Cockstarter. You know,
Dickstarter.
Yeah. See, there we go, ladies. Donate today. At Cockstarter.com.
I can tell you're not on American Freedom anymore.
No, I'm not. It's ironic, you know, being cast off a network. I wasn't cast off. I actually stopped because they wouldn't have any live broadcasts anymore. The network owner was in jail. Apparently set up on a drug charge or something of this nature. The details are sketchy, but. I have noticed a whole bunch of real nasty pieces of work, especially on competing networks. Like they all tried to steal me, and just like turn them down flat, you know. Because honestly,
the FCC thing was a pain in the hole on that thing. You couldn't say anything.
Well, now we can, which is good. I think a little bit more freedom than American Freedom Radio, ironically.
Ironically, yeah.
Now, we're going off the topic of psychos and everything, because it's been done to death, and ironically none of the psychopaths that are in charge of the world have been killed yet, but regardless, it's quite a depressing topic, so we're going to talk about something else, like the nature of reality, spirituality, etc., and I wonder if there's actually any points that you want to make on that general kind of topic base, because I've been thinking about... And what was it, Ayn Rand? What she used to say is that you can ignore reality, but you cannot ignore the consequences of ignoring reality. And I've had so many bloody new agers and annoying people that I've had to actually explain this kind of thing. It's like, no, you actually have responsibility, all right? Reality isn't something you just create off the top of your frickin' head like you imagine it, okay? It happens, and you interact with it. You're not the sole arbiter of creation yourself, as you believe.
Yeah, I believe it. I'm right down with that with you. I'm totally on that line of thought. I've been thinking a lot about that. Like, I wanted to see, well, you know, are these New Agers who say that you just have to think about something and it comes to pass, is there anything to that? Well, in a way, there kind of is, but it's not it's not a free lunch. It's very difficult to actually change the structure of reality, the quantum fabric. It's very, very difficult. Now, it does happen, and when it does seem to happen, it takes place under, you know, moments of extreme stress, like a mother who can lift a 3-ton car off the automobile off her child. That's literally ripping the matrix open. But that's only the terror and the fear of that child and extreme trauma seems to do it. And that's what's interesting. If you look at all the cases where people seem to have had, you know, altered reality, a lot of it seems to be negative. Have you noticed that? It seems to be negative. And that got me thinking and got me looking at black magic. And one of the reasons I think black magic is so seductive to many people is that it seems to be the version of the secret, you know, like the New Age, the secret, that actually gets the results quickest. It's almost like there are forces that allow people who indulge in the dark side to get a taste of good results in altering reality very, very easily and very quickly, in order maybe to hook them into it. And I've noticed that where someone comes in with a New Age thing and say, I just have to imagine, you know, I'll get the future I want, the money I want, the love that I want. It never happens to them. But yet the ones who seem to be the most, you look at the elites, for example, they seem to be right back 2,000-3,000 years obsessed with black magic and dark ritual. And the only reason they're doing it is because they're actually getting results, because that's why they're in power and that's why they're holding power. So it is interesting. I agree with you. Yeah, it definitely cannot be just altered by wishing about it or thinking about it. But there definitely seems to be something about the dark side. It's almost like the prostitution of magic, or the prostitution of this kind of idea of altering reality. It gets you instant results, like it gets you instantly, you know, involved. But you might get the kind of like the quantum version of an STD, in that it like will actually affect your soul. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. I've been reading Dennis Wheatley, and he talks about like how black magic does get results, but you risk losing your soul. So that's very interesting.
It's like a shortcut.
To think about that stuff. Yeah, it's a shortcut. It's like mainlining to the, you know, right into the heart. It's like the hardcore element of it. But it comes with an enormous price, because it's like a drug dealer on the street. You can get very, very rich, or you can be shot at any moment.
Yeah, no benefit comes without its risks. And in fact, I was just thinking about this the other day. I was talking with a new agent there. Like, but my perception and my understanding of quantum physics means that I can create reality and collapse it the way I want. Okay, then. I'll tell you what. Let's do an experiment. Imagine that I agree with you. Is it working? No, it's not. Okay, so obviously your perception doesn't control reality. If anything, it probably doesn't control anything. If anything, you're probably currently under mind control, you nitwit.
And they'll come back with saying, oh, well, Vinny, you're very negative and you're in a low vibrational state. And this is where...
I'll show you a low vibrational state. It's called a fist in your face, you stupid.
And this is why you can't change it. You see, because it's the sort of an infantilization of the whole idea of it.
It's a circular reasoning that backs itself up. It's circular reasoning because it's circular reasoning sort of thing. And you can never argue them out of it, because they don't accept facts or reality because they believe that they don't actually exist, that there's no such thing as objective, measurable truth.
But even if there isn't, they're subject to it. The fact that if there's no such thing as measurable objective truth, then that's a fallacy in relation to everything they believe, because then they wouldn't be even in a position to actually even wish for the future, because they wouldn't exist. And they do exist. It's really bizarre. I can never figure out the New Age line on things, other than I know it's basically fairy tales and escapism for adults.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a religion. It's a new religion that is probably worse than all the other mainstream religions, because it's one where you don't believe in good or evil or doing the right thing.
Yeah. And, well, they actually don't believe in evil. And really, it's good that they actually believe in. And they think that evil only exists because we think about it. And this is a very dangerous road to go down, because if you listen to, you know, Carl Jung said, you don't become conscious or enlightened by imagining beings of light. You become conscious or enlightening by making the darkness manifest. Meaning, when you look into the darkness, that's when you see where the light is coming from. But they're doing the precise opposite of every wisdom tradition. This is what amazed me with the New Age. They claim that they're the latest in a long line of shaman and all kinds of indigenous traditions and, you know, druids and all this kind of thing. But if you look at all that stuff, it was all about the dark side. It was all about going into the dark side. And yet New Agers do the reverse of that. They only want to look at the light. Well, I got news for you. If you're doing that, you're going to get hit with a hell of a whack at some point.
You know, they're trying to practice and be like shaman and like, we're practicing enlightenment. But in an Irish accent, it's more like enshitenment, if you ask me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just a head full of...
That was a very bad Irish accent.
Oh, I'm sorry. In fact, have you noticed that it's actually very, very difficult to do a passable impression of an accent with somebody for whom it's actually a natural one?
Impossible.
It's actually not possible. The amount of people who've tried to copy my accent is just like, you sound totally like an Australian, bro. It's nothing like a New Zealand accent, you know. But anyway.
But that's because they have to, they don't get the, like, instead of saying fish and chips, they'll say fashion chips.
Well, it's more like it's a differentiation. Like, for example, in the vowel sounds, in New Zealand, we pronounce A's and I's and E's. In Australia, the I and the E have become the same vowel, and they've replaced the A as well. For example, a New Zealander will talk about a pin, you know, like you pin something to a wall, and they'll talk about a pen that you can write something down with. For an Australian, it's the same word. It's pin. Right? Yeah. And that's about it.
To me, the Australian and the New Zealand accents sound completely different. I could never mix the two of them up.
Oh, it is quite different. I mean, it just takes familiarity, more or less. And I find it's mostly Americans that get it wrong, primarily because the amount of perhaps foreign cultures that they've been exposed to in the very isolated hinterlands of the United States and American talk radio don't provide them any real examples of other countries' accents a lot of the time. And in so doing, they don't even know what you're saying, let alone be able to differentiate between the different accents.
About 10 years ago, I was working nights, and I used to get up in the afternoon and watch the first program on the TV was Shortland Street, which was a New Zealand soap.
Yeah, it's still going, unfortunately.
Still going, yeah. They go forever, those soaps, don't they?
I mean, it's just like there's a group of people in a room writing wank, more or less. Okay, somebody died, somebody cheated with somebody else, or a new character comes in that's from somewhere else, and they try to, and they're either a bad person or a good person, and they get screwed over, or what. It's basically every single storyline is more or less exactly the same, and it's New Zealand's longest running series in history. You know, it's the New Zealand version of The Simpsons, more or less.
And there's always, when all these same kind of soaps that are on all over the world, there's always the social engineering. Do you ever notice that, like, built into the storyline?
Oh, I've seen people get sucked into soap operas, and I found that they're capable of relating to these imaginary characters in the soap operas more than they are capable of relating to their own family or even themselves.
Yep. That's why the bad guys in soap operas have to be careful when they go out in public, because there's actually people who will attack them.
Who think that they're not... in fact, it's funny as you mention that, because there was a story... How long ago was it? I think maybe eight, nine years ago or something of that nature. We had an actress named Robin Malcolm, a very famous New Zealand actress who was who played a pivotal role on Shortland Street over a decade ago. And there was a pile-up on the highway, and she was... her car didn't crash, but she was right there, and she saw it all happen. And she played a nurse on Shortland Street. And she got out of her car, went to somebody else who was in an upturned car, and the person, like, cried out in relief, "Oh, thank God, it's the nurse!"
we see, and people talk about altering reality and changing reality. There are vast numbers of people in the Western world who are not even in this reality.
They can't even see what's in front of them.
They're locked into TV, and that to them is more real than the world they live in.
It's certainly a lot more exciting and a lot more fun and a lot more interesting than the world they live in, because instead of actually participating in the world they live in, going out and doing things, meeting new people, creating your own adventure and your own story, you start to live vicariously through other stories, and they're all fictional stories. You don't watch real documentaries or the news and emulate with a Palestinian freedom fighter or any of that stuff, do you? No. It's only the made up stuff that you want to emulate. Why is that? Is it because reality is such a depressing bunch of funk that it's just not worth looking at anymore?
In the Ray Bradbury novel Fahrenheit 451, it's made into a very good film in the 60s by Truffaut.
I see it, yeah.
Yeah, and there's Julie Christie's character of the wife. She doesn't want children. She wants more TV screens because she said it's more like a family growing up around me.
Ooh.
And that even predicted the reality TV, because she calls into the TV show and the TV show knows her name and then talks to her. The characters on the TV show talk to her from the TV screen. Her name is Linda, and she thinks they're specially talking to her. So she's actually more involved with the storyline in the soap opera than she is in her own life.
Yeah, I think that's about right today, isn't it? And I've noticed trying to have conversations with people while they're watching something, doesn't matter whether they're watching a TV show or a movie or anything, unless it's paused, they can't concentrate on anything that you're saying. Even if they're looking directly at you and not looking at the screen, the brain just doesn't work. It's simply a blank stare, and what? Can you say that again? Then you say it again, and they're still, what?
And there could be something totally pointless, like an ad for cottage cheese on, and they're more connected with that.
I mean, is this not real? For me, I've been thinking about this, and in fact was probably trying to think about it pretty intensely yesterday, is mind control, and how it's a lot more prevalent than people think, and it's a lot more simple and in your face than people think.
Well, I actually think it's the norm. I actually think most people are mind controlled. Yeah. I think they're completely, they don't even know who they are anymore. I think people are, you know, and it's easy for us to say that, okay, we've maybe broken that spell a bit, or a good bit. But, you know, you see so many people, they're not creatures of liberation or independent thought. Everything is either a social or cultural or a social circle archetype they have to fulfill at each different points in their life. There's no decisions made out of any kind of measured thinking, sitting back and processing it. It's all about, you know, oh well, I'm a certain age now, I have to get married. I'm a certain age now, I have to have kids, that kind of thing. I'm a certain age now, I have to have a mortgage. And that's, they have done an incredible job on the human race when you think about it. They really have.
Well, it's been a deliberate agenda for a long period of time, and even a former director of the CIA said that when our disinformation campaign, everything the American population believes will be the exact opposite of the truth. Are these people on the television something you can actually live your life through? Oh, you believe that they are, but it's not.
There was a story on Yahoo News today of some reporter was talking about how they discovered that vaccines do cause epileptic seizures in children. And he starts off the story by saying, this will give the anti-vaccine, you know, kooks hope. They actually will believe this is true, that vaccines cause seizures. And then went on to write a story about how vaccines do cause seizures. It's like the global... Yes, I'm not kidding you. This is how desperate, bizarre it's got. This
total
is
double thing, okay?
Yeah, total Orwellian doublespeak. War is peace, ignorance, slavery, that usual thing. And and you see that all the time in the global warming stories. You'll see stories saying that global warming is not happening, but it's still real.
we're correct, therefore we're crazy.
Yeah, and this is what eventually makes people throw in their towel and say, I don't want to think for myself anymore. Just tell me anything. Tell me anything and I'll believe it.
Well, it's almost like your ability to discern fact from fiction is very much tied to your ability to be human.
Yeah.
If you cannot do that, the differentiation, yes, this is real, no, that's not. You're no longer yourself. You're no longer human, are you? You're something else. You've been turned into a vessel.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up, because you and I know each other for a long time, and I've been listening to your show for a long time. And, you know, we often hear these memes, there's a great awakening happening. Do you believe there's a great awakening happening?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
That said, I have noticed that I've become a minor celebrity. I went out to chuck like $20 worth of gas in my car the other night, and the lady beside me at the gas station said, "Oh my God, you're Vinnie Eastwood!" And then I went to a cafe yesterday because there was a power cut. I couldn't boil any water for my coffee, and the person in the organic cafe, "Oh my God, you're Vinnie Eastwood!" So it's like I've become a minor celebrity. But does that mean that those people weren't awake before hearing about me, before noticing me doing what I'm doing in this country? I don't think so. There's
the same thing happens to me, and I do often think the same thing. Is this the sign of the wakening up? And then when you get talking to these people, they were generally listening to other shows or other people or talking to other in already on that path. It's almost like we've reached critical mass in this alternative movement. I don't see a great rush of other people coming in. Whereas, on the other hand, we seem to have lost a lot of people who probably waking up wasn't good for them. I've noticed there's less and less people now who are kind of depressed that they woke up and they're like, you know, they've gone through that stage where they thought there was going to be a great shift in the world that never happened, and then they're depressed. I've noticed a lot of them have vanished. So maybe we just have the right people woken up now. Maybe that's what's going on.
Sort of like some kind of a spiritual cull, you know. It's like if you don't have the strength to continue, what was it? If you're facing certain defeat, and then you accept it, that's actually where your defeat comes from, not from your certain defeat in and of itself. It's when you don't want to fight anymore that you've ever truly been defeated. And that's kind of what's happening in the truth movement to a large extent. Some people just, it's too much. And I'm not going to blame them. This is not easy. Okay,
no,
I've had co-hosts before. I've helped new people start up with radio stations before. And they come to nothing because they couldn't handle it. They expected rewards where there weren't any. Okay. The reason I'm doing it is not because I want rewards or I want fame or fortune or anything. I mean, sure, those would be nice, and I'm getting that to a certain extent, but it's not the reason why I do it. It's not the reason why I struggle to pay my rent every week because I don't have a slave job. That's not the reason. The reason is I don't have a freaking choice. It's either save humanity or watch it burn.
Yeah. And at the same time, too, I feel the same way also. And I've had very similar experiences to you. And then we get like, we have to deal with these loonies who could come after us. And we don't have that, you know, we don't have sort of like the power and protection, say, a big celebrity would have. But I have to say, the reason why I do it and still do it is I find this path incredibly interesting. Do you find it interesting as well? I love the fact that I learn so many new things, and that, you know, there's always new discoveries. I find that like the best part of this.
I was once discouraged by a friend of mine years and years ago, before I had even woken up. He said, "Vinny, you know what your problem is?" I go, "What?" He says, "You're trying to force good conversation on people." And I thought, "Wow, what a bastard of a friend I am." We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Check out our sponsors, the Crowdfunding Revolution by Kevin Lawton, the Range of Illusion by B. Holmes. Also, make sure you get yourself a blue shield and protect yourself from that nasty EMF radiation. MF doesn't stand for something like a swear word. It's more like magnetic frequencies. But also, make sure you get yourself some of that gourmet soap, kitchen soap. All right, it's literally better than Fight Club soap. And it's not even made from the fat of rich women. It's unbelievable. We'll be right back. Back, ladies and gentlemen, with my very special guest Thomas Sheridan from thomassheridanarts.com. That's Thomas with an H. Welcome back, bro. Now, we were just talking about people who kind of like go through the awakening process but then wind up going back to sleep again, right? I would say it's losing hope, losing faith, something like that. It's not an intellectual decision that they've made. It's a spiritual, emotional decision they make. No, the truth is no longer value to me. No, I no longer care. I just want money. I just want to be with my family and everything like that. As the world gradually closes around me, turns into a police state, and will eventually exterminate my family, okay? So no amount of logic would bring you to the conclusion that going back to sleep and going back to work and doing the same thing everybody else is doing would make any difference, right? That's just a stupid idea. Anybody who thinks about it for more than 30 seconds will come to that conclusion, which is why I've concluded that it's, again, as I said, not an intellectual decision that they're making to go back to sleep. It's an emotional one because they can't handle the stress, the pressure and the stress. They haven't found sufficient coping mechanisms.
And what makes them think things are going to be better if they go back? It reminds me a lot of these people who go on, you know, these people that have like a relationship and it breaks up. And then they go on an instant rebound relationship and do something stupid like get married in a hurry. It reminds me of that. And it's like all my problems will be solved now if I do this, if I don't look at it, if I throw myself into, you know, this impulsive major decision, it won't be a problem anymore. Everything will be back to the way it was. But it's like the old story, you know, you can never go home. And these people, like I was looking at one internet forum, a very, very popular one. And I would say at least 25% of the threads currently running on it are, I wish I never woke up. I wish I'd go back to who I was. Waking up didn't work out for me. And a lot of this had to do, as you say, they were expecting a reward, not necessarily a financial reward, but they really did believe that the world was going to wake up and then they suddenly wouldn't be alone and their friends and their family who laughed at them or ridiculed them would be proven wrong as the whole world joins together in the alternative movement, the truth movement, whatever you want to call it, and everything would be great. And these days, this never came. And they've been let down so many times. They've been let down by Anonymous, by Occupy, by all these, the Zeitgeist thing, by all the celebrities like the Russell Brands who they thought was going to change everything. They've been let down by all of it.
It's because they're stupid enough to believe that their old belief structure that somebody else will solve all my mother fracking problems for me is still true. It's not true.
They haven't figured out that the only one that can save their own ass is themselves. They have not figured that out. And that to them is the most terrifying realization of all. Because that is the ultimate waking up, is the day you realize that no religion, no God, no movement, no nothing is going to do this for me. I've got to do it myself. That's what it comes down to. They want to wake up. They want this great world as long as they don't have to do anything about it. Someone else gives it to them.
Yeah. It's freaking stupid, it's freaking lazy, and it's a product of mind control, All right.
And Christianity, it comes from the idea that a Jesus or a Messiah will come.
You know. Actually, this is the irony, because it doesn't even say that in the Bible. First of all, it says you're going to suffer for 7 long years of pain, persecution, and the worst kind of crap you could ever see in Satan's dominion on earth, and then you get raptured. It's not suddenly somebody's going to show up just because you've got a little bit of faith and say, oh, I believe in Jesus Christ, therefore nothing bad is ever going to happen to you and you never have to fight evil. That's the misinterpretation that's been deliberately put out there. It's to rob people of their strength, I think. If you put your belief in something that has no power, like a savior, then you will have no strength, because you'd believe that your savior is somebody else and not you.
It's a spiritual insurance policy. I paid off for the big payoff of when it's going to come in. The savior will save us. And this then gets projected to everything. And it's the whole truth movement is full of it. Who's going to be the next one who's going to lead us? Who's the next one who's going to save us? Who's the next one that's going to bring us? And they move like an addiction from one's, you know, salvatory, you know, concept to the next. And they never seem to learn that, like, you shouldn't be putting your hopes in these things that have obviously been, in 9 times out of 10, they've been set up by the intelligence services anyway to filter you out of the truth movement and into something like Occupy or something like that. And it just goes on, and they never learn, because they don't want to learn. And then that's what makes them eventually become despondent and say, forget about it, I'm not going to be woke up anymore, I'm going to go back into the way I was. And it changes nothing, because they'll just be triply depressed.
Well, I think it's like if you have faith and hope in things that for which you see no benefit or no results, stop having faith and hope in those things and start doing something else that will actually give you benefit, that will actually get you results. I mean, that's the logical thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, instead of pining for, you know, Monsanto to go out of business, go and grow your own organic vegetables. Instant, you know, insurgency. Things like that. You can do all kinds of things, little things in your own life, while highlighting and working towards getting them big time scumbags out. You can have little victories in your own life on the way. But the problem is they don't do that. They want everything to just like be a Hollywood movie, where the hero wins, gets the girl at the end, kills all the bad guys and rides to the sunset. Life doesn't work like that. And as you said, they're still mind controlled by expecting that.
You ever seen anybody build a house before? Well, did the roof go on first or did the foundations go first? You freaking idiots. All right. You got to build it from the ground up. Okay. Look, I've been in this game for like over 5 years, okay, and 2 years previously to starting going out and doing all the video and everything. All I was an angry, depressed young guy who had no hope. You know, the reason I had no hope, because all I was doing was listening to truth content and I wasn't creating any. I wasn't interacting with anybody else who was brimming with truth, that kind of thing. And so as a result, I got depressed, I got really angry, and I destroyed most of the relationships in my life, okay? That's what happens. The first relationship I destroyed was my relationship with myself. Sometimes that actually needs to happen so that you can rebuild yourself up psychologically from the ground floor up. Okay, I've spent my entire life believing stuff that's not true. Now I've found out that it's not true, and I need to actually do something about it. What do I do, though? What are my unique talents? What are my unique gifts? What are my skills? I happen to be an entertainer, so I wound up turning into an infotainer, all right? It's simply a little transition, but the amount of work that had to go through, I think maybe 2009 through 2012, it was breadline, you know? I think maybe halfway through 2012, I was getting enough regular donations so that I could at least pay my bills without scaring the hell out of my my wife every day, telling her what the bank balance is, you know? And she told me, and so many other people told me, give up. Stop. You're destroying your life. And I said, no, I'm not destroying mine. I'm saving yours.
It reminds me of the tarot card, the Tower. That tower has to fall down and be destroyed for something new to be built up again. People have to understand that this sometimes a self-sacrifice of yourself does not have to be a horrific thing. It's part of this kind of this. It's almost like, you know, the caterpillar turning into the moth. I could only imagine the kind of agony that when the pupa goes through as it's changing its body from this like worm-like creature into this like beautiful winged creature that's capable of flight. Could you only imagine the contortions and the pain that the caterpillar subjects itself to in order to take flight? That's exactly how we have to live our lives. And especially when you go into this, like you say, this field, you have to be prepared to suffer that crystallization before you reach the point of being able to take flight and fly. And it seems like a very, very long time while you're in that pupa and while you're twisting and contorting and you're feeling all those pains as these new limbs grow. But there's no other way to do it. And this is like what brings us back to the New Agers. They just don't seem to understand that. They just want to close their eyes and imagine that they're a butterfly and it will just happen. It doesn't happen like that. Nature does not create transformation without destruction. And this is not spoken enough, I don't think. And I'm glad you brought it up, because when people tell me, oh, I'm going through a really bad time at the moment, I wish I never got into this stuff, I always say, well, that's because you're growing, you're changing. And this is growing pains of the psyche. And if you ride with this and don't let it overpower you, you're only going to win from it in the end.
Be grateful for your pain and suffering, for there are great rewards ahead, even though it doesn't seem like it right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. Nothing, you know, nothing, not the universe manifests nothing without trauma. It's as simple as that. Everything has to, you know, a seed has to break through its shell to grow into a flower or a tree. It's just a woman has to go through pain to give birth, and all animals do. It's just how it is. It'll never change. And to expect a free ride in this reality by just thinking you have to wish it like that will never happen. I think that's also why people who win the lotto are generally not happy or they go crazy. Yeah. It's because they didn't earn the money. I always remember the first time I got paid to play music, it was like I got paid like £10. And that wasn't a lot, but it was like the sweetest tenor I ever made in my life, because it came from me playing music. People who win the lotto are like New Age. They're like a good analogy for the New Ager types who just want instant spiritual enlightenment. It's empty. It has no depth because there was no suffering behind it.
Well, I think the whole New Age philosophy is sort of like, I don't know. Oh, we always get everything we want if we wish for it. Really? Are you telling me Santa always brought you the toys that you wanted and didn't get you socks once? Yeah. Is that what you're telling me? I mean, what you want is very rarely what you get. I mean, and more to the point, even if you're suffering through pain and trauma and everything, it's still no freaking guarantee. You have to be mindful about who you are and what you're doing. Otherwise, you wind up driving yourself off a cliff or driving yourself mad. I don't know. I don't know if you've seen this happen, Thomas, but because people refuse to come to this realization about their own personal power and their ability to get over stuff, you know, and just think back on their life and go, man, it's a wonder I'm still alive. Of course, this must be easy enough to survive this whole awakening thing, considering what I've already been through. I don't come to that realization. And they don't maintain their sanity as a result. They go totally crazy. Like, what was it? All caps commenters. You know the kind I'm talking about?
Yeah. And what you said there about you don't always get what you want, but I will tell you something that's true. We're going to be kind of like esoteric about it. You do get what you need. You do get what you need, even if it's not what you want and not what you think you need. But when I look back at my life, even the bad times have been a blessing, because they lit a fire under my backside and moved me on to something else. again, it's personal evolution. And that's always been about evolution, where people have been conditioned and brainwashed and mind-controlled to expect a revolution.
Which they don't even realize means to go in a circle.
Yeah, to revolve right back to where you started.
Yeah. Now, rather than revival or renewal, you know, that kind of thing, I mean, I saw the political system more or less as a computer program. I saw the financial system as more or less just a story, right? And so if you want to solve the political system, hit the reset button. If you want to solve the debt problem, rewrite the story. Pretend the debt doesn't exist. Because the only reason it's there is because we're pretending it exists.
Yeah.
But of course,
I thought you can't explain it to the average person though. When you tell them the country owes so much money to this, that, and the other, and when you say to them, but to who do they owe it? Oh, the banks. Why? Oh, that's just how the world is. That's just how it is. It just has to be. It does. No country owes no. Like when they say the earth is so many trillions in debt, who do we owe it to? The Martians? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, they don't even get it. It's like following through to logical conclusions. You know, it just doesn't happen because it can't. If it does happen, then boom, you're no longer asleep. And it's usually just one realization. It's either realizing that your religion's a scam designed to rob you of your personal power to believe in a higher deity that isn't actually there to help you so that you can continue going to church and getting spiritual guidance by a pedophile who's asking for donation money so that he can bury Irish children in a septic tank, or giving up your faith in the financial system, which you currently base your entire economic existence on, faith, right? That's the entire reason why this little piece of money in this hand has any value whatsoever is because we've got faith in it, just like a religion. If you lose your faith, it's like losing your mother. The thing that born you into this world and the thing that gave you all your hope, all your freedom, the thing that comforted you when you were feeling bad, the person who talked nice to you and made you feel better when you were crying because somebody hurt you, is gone. And suddenly you realize, I'm all alone. It's like being a psychological orphan in a world, in a giant global orphanage. And there are nothing but really nasty nuns who have no Christianity about them whatsoever.
And they still are pillars of the community, and you still have to have faith. You reminded me of something. I met this Greek woman years ago, and she said to me, we were talking about religion, and she says, don't you have faith? And I said, you mean like faith in God? And I says, no, I don't believe in anything. And honest to God, she looked at me like I just admitted I was an axe murderer. The people are so conditioned to believe that fate is a normal thing, that you have faith in something that someone else has invented. That's as fundamental to your humanity as your biological or your neurological processes. How they got away with that spell is incredible to me. I still can't believe they made that one fly, and yet they do. You must have faith. Faith in what? Well, faith in what we're told to have faith in. It's quite incredible.
Well, see, funnily enough, I actually really do agree with that woman, but in the direct opposite way to what she might think. You know, I do have faith, but it's not in some kind of orthodoxy. It's not in anything mysterious or mystical. It's simply a way out back door when all else fails, when there is nothing left. Only then do I say, yep, I've got faith. I've got faith.
Yeah, I agree with that. She didn't mean it that way. She was specifically talking about, you know, Jeebus and the Bible and everything.
Exactly. Do you have faith in one specific thing that one king rewrote because he wanted to have a divorce and then got excommunicated from the Roman Catholic Church, which caused a massive, huge extermination of unbelievers back in the day? You don't believe in the merits of that belief structure? You're the devil!
Or a bunch of, you know, Greek and Armenian bishops who got together 1,000 years ago in Turkey, and then put all these books together that they decided they're going to call it the Bible and couldn't figure out which ones to use, then decided the best ones would be the one that gives absolute power to kings. You don't believe in that?
Well, you know, maybe they call it the Bible because they're trying to see how much bull people would buy.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm terrible when I laugh at my own jokes. It's just not fun. Hey, in fact, Thomas, I've been told by a number of people, like, I've been told that I'm just not funny. And I'm starting to actually kind of, like, get onto the board where it's like, you know what, actually, a lot of the jokes I say just really aren't that funny. And in fact, some of them are almost as traumatic to listen to as the most horrific conspiracy theory. In so doing, listening to this radio show and hearing my terrible jokes and hearing about horrible, heinous, scary conspiracies, I think it kind of lessens the blow somewhat because you've got something a little bit worse by comparison to cushion the blow, as it were.
I don't know. I kind of liked your jokes and your humor stuff. I liked when you were on the old station. You did the mafia guy with the hat and everything. I thought that was very good.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. In fact, considering you're doing that, Thomas, what I'll do is I will put the Godfather theme song back into the catalogue, and I'll do an intro of that nature very soon as well, indeed. So that'll be nice. Other than that, here's another thing that I've noticed about people who wake up and then go back to sleep and or get bitter. They're not enjoying themselves. They're not having fun, are they?
You know? No, they lose their sense of humor. Oh, how, you know, they don't understand gallows humor. I'm a great believer in gallows humor.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, people in the military and the services, they'll tell you that in the heat of battle, they were cracking jokes and making fun of things that happened. It's the way you get through it. This is what a lot of people who are like really uptight and get stuck in cults or in religions, that's one of the things that these groups take from these people, is their ability to laugh, their ability to, they don't get satire. They don't even understand what it is.
How many jokes are there in the Bible, Thomas? There's none, are there?
Let me think. Is there any jokes in the Bible? Let me see.
You know, is there like a rabbi, a priest, and a minister walk into a synagogue?
Yeah, there's a couple of sick ones, though. There's, like, Job. Like, God plays a trick on Job by keep making his life horrible. So that's, like, the kind of psychopathic jokes. And there's also, like, Abraham and Isaac, stab your son. Oh, okay. I was only joking. You know, that kind of thing. That kind of humor. No, there's no jokes in it. There's no jokes in any religion. In fact, look at Islam. You can't look how crazy they go if you even, like, do anything about, like, Muhammad,
like, if you can't, it's
mental.
Actually illegal. It's a death sentence if you take the Lord Muhammad and make a joke out of him.
Yeah.
All right. So see, this is how important humor is. It's been banned in every single Orthodox religion.
And every mind control cult. Yep.
I wonder what the intention is. I think it's maybe because, which reminds me, Thomas, legislation got passed in New Zealand about 5-6 years ago, making it illegal to make fun of politicians.
You're kidding me.
It's illegal to make jokes about it. I don't know why they haven't arrested me yet. I've made countless freaking jokes about them. I think it would be because nobody's been prosecuted for it as yet, and people still do the political cartoons, but they're too afraid to enforce it because of the implications of not being able to have humour in the political sphere at all, and be a jailable offence.
They did the same in Ireland with religion. They passed this crazy blasphemy law. Some Muslim group lobbied the government in 2009 to like put this law in. They probably gave the political party money or something. And you can't actually joke about it. Now, they busted nobody on it, because if they did, they would just look really bad. But they just put it on the books as a token thing. And so, like, you know, I was on an Irish radio station a few years ago, and I says, you know, I've got this Bible in my hand, which I'm going to burn. And then I said, onto a CD.
Oh, shoot, that's good. That's good. We'll be right back after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, my very special guest from Ireland is Thomas Sheridan. His website is thomassheridanarts.com. And if you would like to, please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and check out our sponsors there. I'm trying to push now, ladies and gentlemen, and I mean really push. I don't mean to pressure you or anything, but I want you to please donate $5 a month. All right, sign up today and use the PayPal button, or if you happen to be in New Zealand and you want this content to keep being produced, please go to the website and start up a regular automatic payment either into the Kiwi Bank or through the PayPal. There's a reason why I'm doing this is, other than the fact that I really dislike to a large extent having to beg you all for money, I really appreciate you all listening to the show, but sometimes listening's not enough, and people having their ear bent towards you doesn't necessarily make the landlord go, hey, you've got listeners, that's fine, we'll just let you off the rent. It just doesn't happen. Unfortunately, we still live in a new world order monetary system, and I hate the people who come up to me and say, well, Vinny, you could just print your own money and you could be a free man on the land and all of that kind of stuff. Look, I understand that. However, that takes, like, the Free Man Manual, like 900 pages of study plus going through the court and all of that kind of stuff. I hate court. I've been arrested for weed. I ain't going back by any stretch of the imagination. I don't even like going to court to film my fellow activist friends giving presentations to corrupt judges and stuff like that, because it's so bleep boring. Just give me a little bit of coin and I'll keep you entertained in perpetuity. That's my promise to you. Other than that, might want to check out our sponsors who are also listeners to the show, who simply contributed, not because I'm really going to necessarily return all their investments and everything back to them, but because they simply want to support the show and they want this kind of information to keep continuously getting out there. Because I don't know if you've realized this, ladies and gentlemen, but there ain't nobody else in the truth movement, either in New Zealand or in talk radio, that is talking about all this really serious stuff that we do and is cracking incredibly lame jokes at the same time to help you deal with the scary information. We'll be right back.